You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net here on Podcast Juice, day 4, 30 days of podcasting. And, of course, Podcast Juice is not just myself, but the ever-beautiful Toya Tenay Taylor. How are you doing?
Well, what's the name of this podcast? We said the Afterlife Podcast.
Yes, because apparently we were all supposed to be dead. Dated to the 21st?
21st, Doomsday.
And here it is, the 22nd, very much alive. I don't know, we're in the afterlife, so we're on the other side podcasting. Imagine that. Yeah. So, talking about the whole end of the world thing here, according to the ancient Mayan calendar, the end of the world was supposed to have come on the 21st. Yet, here we stand. So, I mean, what do you think about it? It was a lot of people talking about, yeah, end of the world was coming, you know, get ready, and there's all these kind of hoopla. It was kind of like a Y2K sort of a buzz about it. Me, personally, I just shrugged it off. Yeah, really? But, I mean, why do you think there was such hysteria or such talk about that? I mean, it's 2012, the age of intelligency, of thought. Here we're kind of falling back on some almost superstitious sort of.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that many people are superstitious, and I think a lot of people are looking for something to happen in their lives, and why not it be doomsday? Like a lot of people, you know, they even have a reality show about people who are preparing for the end of the world and how they have underground shelters and, you know, they save up for food and they learn how survival skills and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's definitely this whole apocalypse sort of preparation that I can understand a little bit more. You know, some people are waiting for the zombie apocalypse that pop off, which would be very interesting.
That's already here. We got a whole bunch of zombies, man. That's a whole nother conversation.
You know? Well, just curious. I mean, what would you do if there was some sort of cataclysmic event that happened? And, you know, like society just started to break down.
What would you do? I mean, let's just look back at history. People, if we look at Hurricane Katrina and Sandy and the tsunamis, people pray. That's what people do. People pray for forgiveness. People pray to be saved. That's what people do.
Do you think that is that what you would do? Like, would that?
More than likely so.
What do you think would happen if you just started praying? Like, is that going to stop it from happening?
Your faith comes into question. I don't know what would happen, you know?
Save me, white Jesus.
I don't know about white Jesus, but you know, what can you do in a situation like that?
Get your guns. Get ready.
Get your gun. If it's a tsunami, we don't know how the world would end. So it's not necessarily by violence. It's
could
be a natural disaster.
No, I'm saying I guess I'm saying like after, you know, we talked about the preparation of having the bunker and people stockpiling certain things. Like there's some people that are stockpiling guns, ammunition, food.
Get your guns and do what?
So that you can protect yourself after whatever that event happened.
Who are you protecting yourself from?
From me and you. From each other.
Oh, God. I mean, we need to protect the world we live in now with people killing each other in Connecticut and in the shopping malls. You need to be able to protect yourself in this life right now, today. Well, so I wouldn't look at it like that. If anything, if we're talking about if the end of the world came and there were survivors and I happen to be one of them, how would I survive?
Yeah.
I need to know how to live off the earth.
Do
I need
you?
To know how, no.
Okay.
So that's something I would want to learn to do. I need to know how to stay warm when there is no electricity.
Yeah.
And what can I eat when I can't go to the store?
Right.
Those are the things you need to know. How can I get water when the water's been contaminated?
You know, and that's sort of topics. I find myself reading a lot of apocalypse books, fiction. A lot of them, you know, there's the zombie books, but then there's a lot of these books now that happen, like if America falls, what would you do? Like, how do you survive? And a lot of the things that you mentioned are what these books are about. Like, okay, if the government was to fall apart and society started to fall apart, there's no law and order, there are no resources in terms of electricity and stuff, what do we do? You know, who do you have to fear? And a lot of the scenarios are, you know, there are certain militias or people that would maybe try to band together and do things, a lot of racial sort of.
Well, you know what? I tell you, that's a really deep topic, because what I do see is that your money is now not worth anything.
It means nothing.
And people who we look down upon, like the homeless, who have had to learn to survive, now become the experts, now become the people of value. And those are the people you have to turn to for your survival.
Yeah. And, you know, the other question is, so what happens to the military? What happens to all of that stuff that they have? Maybe there is no more United States government, but that does not mean that people in the military abandon those situations, because they do have the power at that point. The power becomes who's got the gun, who's got the enough people to go in and take and do whatever they want. So that's why I say these whole militia sort of things that sort of swept under the rug a little bit. But I can understand why they try to quell those sort of situations, because those sort of people are thinking on these sort of terms like, okay, what if something pops off? We're ready, right? So we could go into
a
city.
They're ready to keep order.
Right, or take order. We can go in and take all the... We can go to all of the distribution points that stores go to and get all the food,
but you know, okay, let's just look at the history in the last 10 years, and we look at Haiti. Where, and maybe their military isn't as intelligent or prepared, strategically prepared as ours, but they didn't know what to do. You know, and the food supplies they had, they just threw at people. They didn't.
Right.
So I don't even know if the military would be prepared.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It may not be the military. That's why I say militias. There are citizen groups, you know, that have bunkers, who have farmland, who are training, who do have the weapons.
And but what do you do when the masses take over?
Well, again, the masses are only going to take over until, again, you could have a mass, you could have a thousands of people. Let's just say in the city I'm in right now, Auburn, right? Really, it only takes at least maybe 20 armed and organized people. They could take over the whole thing.
They could. However, if there are 20 people with weapons and 5,000 people...
who are not afraid to pull the trigger.
So what? 5,000 people who are hungry and who are desperate. Right. There's not much they can do.
Well, again,
they can try.
All it takes... So, and we're, I don't know how we get this conversation. So the obvious places that most people would go is to the store. They're going to run... Safeway is going to get ransacked, right?
Right, right.
They're going to tear
grocery
that
stores,
up. But
right.
Where does Safeway get their stuff from, right? There are distribution points in these cities that are stockpiled with pharmaceutical stuff.
Right.
Food, and it's refrigerated, and those are the spots to grab, right? Mm. So when people are ransacked the stores, and again, the stuff in the store is only going to last long with electricity. Mm. So that's a limited thing that may last a week or 2 weeks at best. Once you've eaten through all that, you don't need food. And you're going to try and go to that distribution point if you can figure out where it's at. Mm. And I guarantee you, if there's those 20 people stationed there with the guns, when you try to rush up, they're going to pull the trigger. Now, common sense, it's survival instincts would tell the guy that's back at number 3,000 and something of that 5,000 people, when he sees that first 100 just slaughtered in his face, he's not running in there.
Maybe not.
Because he's like, you know what?
You know what?
I can't
win. But you're talking from a very sane place right now, because you're not hungry.
Sure.
And we're sitting in a very comfortable space. We're talking about people who are thinking about, how am I going to feed my children?
Understood. I agree. But I'm just saying.
So I don't think a bullet is going to necessarily deter everyone.
Forces? I mean, I look at it in the sense of, if you just look into history and how is order maintained, it's not through thought. It is through the most basic understanding of what you can understand. You either survive or you don't. Survival
okay,
will
okay,
tell
so
you.
Okay, so hold up. Wait a minute. Let's say this. And I'm really thinking about the Haiti situation. Okay, that first time, those bullets are going to deter people. But now I'm hungry. I've lost my mother. She's been shot. Now I'm angry and I'm hostile. Mm-hmm. At some point, the bullets don't matter.
Well, what happens in a lot of these countries, like in Africa, is so there's the gang with the guns and all that. What happens next? They'll go in and take these younger people and recruit them to be a part of this. Because here's how you survive. You survive by being one of us.
Right.
Otherwise, we'll blow you away. Okay, you go join up. Now your family gets to eat. So I think that's where the order comes in. Whereas, the only way to survive is to become a part of that, because If you're not a part of that, you're excluded. You don't get to eat. So those people will go in and join that situation and guard it because that's what they feel. And they'll listen to whoever that one person who's smart enough to know how to run shit, who's running shit, they're going to do whatever that guy says. Anything that person says.
Right.
And you're going to literally have you go running around killing other people just so they can keep stuff. I mean, that's what happened in these other countries. They had these little kids. Mm-hmm. Give a couple of them a gun. Now they go in there. We grab some more kids. I mean, well, that's sad, but that's what's happening.
I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but I'm happy that there wasn't a doomsday. I never thought there would be. I found it to be hilarious because it became a pickup line for a lot of dudes I know who were like, yo, you know, T, it's been 20 years, girl.
Yeah, I always wanted to.
You know, exactly. We might as well make this happen.
Really? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Air them out. Who was? I mean, come on, man.
So I thought that was, I just thought it was funny.
Hysterical.
Very.
All right. Let's keep it moving. That just brings us to talk about gun control.
Absolutely.
Of course, we had this very egregious, very depressing, terrifying situation that happened in school recently.
In Connecticut.
Connecticut with the school shooting, which is just unbelievable.
How many, what was the end number?
I have to look it up.
I know it was, I want to say in the 20s, I know it was 18 children, anywhere from kindergarten to sixth grade.
It's 20 children.
Final count was 20.
And there was 26 people who were shot and killed, but there were 20
kids. And first of all, I really want to show homage to those teachers who acted once they understood what was happening and sheltered, protected these children with their bodies, took every precaution they could to make sure that as many children survived as possible. I can't imagine being a parent. I can't imagine being in that situation. And you have kids, Michael, so I know I speak for both of us when I say our hearts go out to that community.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that brings up a lot of questions that are going around now. One is, do you put armed guards, police, whatever, in these schools? Like,
so we, you and I talked about this a little earlier in the week, and I was telling you about how when I worked in D.C. as well as New York, this was 1997. I walked into the high schools and some middle schools in the urban areas, and it was common to have a on-duty cop, a metal detector,
right?
And for your stuff to have to go through the metal detector even to get into the school. And I always thought, and I still do, I said, man, this is not how children are supposed to be educated. This is setting my babies up for prison, making them feel like criminals. And now we're at a point, let's say 10, 15 years later, where legislation, I was listening to NPR today, it is real that this may have to be the norm in all of our schools to keep our children safe. Now, see, the difference was in the urban areas, it wasn't to keep our children, it was to keep them safe from each other.
Right.
I have an issue with that. They were being treated like criminals. Now we're trying to protect our children from people who want to commit violence.
Well, it's going back to the urban schools. I mean, what was the reasoning behind putting them there in the first place? Is because the kids were bringing guns to school?
Absolutely. This was to protect the children from each other and to protect the staff and the teachers from violence that may have occurred from the children.
Well, and I guess a byproduct of that is, like you said, some of the kids may have felt as if they are
being violated.
And you know what? That can be a viable situation. But I think the safety outweigh a person's feeling of like, you know what? This is a prison or something. Like, I don't know. That sounds a little much to call it a prison.
No.
A prison is a lot more than that.
I'm talking about your psyche, man.
Okay.
Where you're patting kids down.
Sure.
You know, police officer is roaming the hallways. A armed police officer. A school is not the environment that should take place. I'm sorry. It's the same.
Go ahead.
You're having the same regimen that occurs at a prison happen at a school. I disagree.
Well, again, it depends on why it's in place. Because I'm in the favor right now. There needs to be armed police or whatever. There needs to be somebody armed at these schools right now. To me, going forward, you're sending your kids to a place you want to feel like, you know what, they are safe there, and there needs to be something in place to say, look, if you come in here, there's going to be resistance. You can't just come running in here.
Well, we're talking about, okay, so we're talking about two different things. We're talking about a time
even
where
that situation
that
where kids are bringing in guns to school, I still would want there to be, again, I don't want it to feel like kids feel like they're in a prison, so maybe there needs to be a way of how do you do it. But just like any other place in society where there are armed police walking around and creating order, the school needs that too. I don't see why it doesn't.
Now it does, considering what's happened when, you know, first with Columbine and then the Connecticut situation. I agree. There has to be something done to protect our children and our teachers, our educators.
I mean, and there was a time when we didn't have to have that, and that was great. But we're not at that time anymore. Just as there was a time when the president didn't have to be protected and he could just walk freely down the street. He has his armed security with him all the time.
It's
right?
It's always been that way as far as I know.
Well, not always.
But for the last
in recent history,
six
yeah.
generations.
But I'm just saying, everything changes. And that school that we thought about where that's an open door and it's just kids in there and it's great, that stuff is over. That's been over. It's been over for a lot of different reasons.
Okay, so when my thing is, to what level, at what point, where does it stop? Okay, so if that's the case, we need metal detectors at the movie theater and the mall.
Maybe we do. Maybe
it's not
we
a way
do.
To live.
It's not, but again, the other side of it is, it's an open door for any fool to run in there and just start shooting people.
Or a bomb. I mean, it's not just, it's not armed.
This is where we live right
okay,
now.
Okay, so what do you think about gun legislation?
No different than the airports, right? The airports.
Right?
I used to love going to the airport just for the specific reason I could walk to the gate and just watch the planes. That's part of like how I grew up as a kid. We used to always go to the airport. The family was coming and stuff. You can't even, you know, you can't go to the gate anymore,
nope.
Right? The airport is not, but that's the way it is. That's just, it got to be like that.
I don't like it.
Some people ruined it.
I don't like it. So I guess my question is let's talk about gun legislation mm-hmm. and the gun laws in this country. Is that the root of our issue? Or does it go beyond that? Because, okay, yes, the acts of violence that have occurred mm-hmm. have happened with weapons, specifically guns. But if the gun laws are stricter, then it'll start to be bombs. It'll start to be knives. It'll start to
I think it'll still be guns. The gun laws are strict mm-hmm. now. But again, law-abiding people, they won't have the guns. But the criminals who don't give a fuck, they're going to have guns.
They're going to have guns anyway.
So you can have all the laws in the world.
Right.
All you're doing is just disarming the dishonest people. And they're at the whim of the criminals. So the criminals, you can ban assault weapons, which I really don't think people should have assault weapons. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you go ahead and ban them. Do you think that goon thug or crazy person, they don't give a fuck about no ban, they gonna get it.
Yeah,
and they'll have it, and you won't. And so when they bust in your house, you'll be a law-abiding citizen getting blasted, and the criminals just do what they want to do.
So what's the solution to the violence that's occurring?
I'll say this. The solution, unfortunately, is not a reality that will happen. Because to me, the solution means you have to look at everything we digest. And unfortunately, that would mean we'd all have to make sacrifices on entertainment, stuff we're reading, whatever. And we're not going to do that because this society is about freedom of speech. You can do whatever you want to do. So the solution is, the real solution is,
saying that your solution, as you see it, would be to censor everything.
My solution is that we could take an honest look of the culture of violence that we have on our society. But we're not going to do that.
I think one solution is, and I think Obama is headed in that right direction of having health care for everyone, because I think a lot of people are depressed. I think a lot of people have mental issues, whether it's being bipolar, schizophrenic, and those issues have never been addressed. And at some point they come out into the light through an act of violence. So I think that, you know, one step in the right direction is making sure that anybody, regardless of their socioeconomic background, has health care.
Right. And I agree with that. I think, though, that the problem with gun violence is that school shootings are not the norm, but other crimes committed with guns are the norm, which we're not addressing. Because again, the likelihood of school shootings to happen is less likely than somebody to rob you at gunpoint or different or shootings in neighborhoods happens uh-huh. way more than there's going to be shootings at schools.
Oh, okay, but yeah, right? Okay, right.
Those are the gun problems. So again, you can disarm everybody, but it's not going to really stop those things from happening.
I don't think the solution is to disarm people. Okay. I think, you know, we talk about...
you can give everybody mental health, but a criminal is a criminal. Not because he's crazy. He may feel like he has a lot of excuses he's a criminal.
Right, but let's look at the things that have occurred. Okay. We had the guy at the movie theater who shot at the movie theater.
Again, very rare. That doesn't happen often.
It doesn't happen, but when it does, it affects hundreds, if not thousands, of lives.
Only because it is so publicized. But again, there is way more shootings that happen every day in neighborhoods that are far more the danger of you than that to happen. So just addressing that is to address the extreme that doesn't really affect our everyday life. Like, that's not going to happen that often. Otherwise, you'd have to shut down the theaters.
It seemed like it's been happening in the last six months. We've had at least six massacres.
Yeah, but they're all the same place, though. I mean, there's certain okay, we had the school shooting. We had a couple school shootings, I suppose.
The movie theater. The shopping mall.
Right, but there's been way more shootings than any of those.
I understand that. I'm just saying. I think a lot of it has to do with people's mental state.
And it may do that. I'm just saying you could give everybody that mental health, but I don't think that's going to stop all the crimes that really happen.
No, we're never going to stop all of them.
Right,
crimes.
But I don't think it will even affect the real problem.
You never know. You never know until we got to start somewhere.
Okay. So you think it's more mental health?
Absolutely.
Access to mental health?
Absolutely.
If the people would actually go to, you could give them access to a lot of things. Doesn't mean they're going to use it.
Yeah, but to at least have it as an option.
Do you think this kid...
Because even your boy who did the movie theater shooting, he was actually seeing a doctor.
So he had access to it.
Yeah, she was a psychiatrist.
Whether or not they got access to it, if it's going to do any good.
And he wrote her a letter.
Right.
Stating some of the stuff he wanted to do, and it wasn't addressed. So then there's a breakdown in that system as well.
So, I mean, again...
I don't know.
I mean, there's crazy people. That's why I said, yeah, you can do all that, but I can say, well, I guess if there was... more secure.
Okay, so then wait a minute. Let's talk about solutions. What does stricter gun laws mean?
I personally don't know. Like, I don't know how much more you can make them strict. They're already pretty strict, but because there are laws on the book, criminals are not going to follow that. So you can make it a death penalty. They don't care. It's a death penalty now to do certain things.
And listen, it's not even criminals. These are law-abiding citizens who, for some reason, lose their minds and go and kill people. So they're not criminals until they commit the act. So,
well, we're all innocent and proven guilty.
Right. So what I'm exactly, but what I'm saying is, these people who are committing these egregious acts of violence, weren't criminals or had records at first.
Sure, but they had easy access to get into places to do these acts.
Right, because they were citizens who by law had the right to do so. So what I'm saying to you, you're saying the criminals are
take the movie thing, for instance. He walked in through the back door. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if these places are more secure, mm-hmm. that back door is not open for him to do that. He would only have to come through the front, and there are metal detectors, or there's a guard standing right there, so he knows he's going to have to gun up from the first instance, and he's going to get challenged, as opposed to he can just sneak in the back door and gun people away. It's not secure. The school is not secure.
So, okay, anybody so hold up. What you're saying is to beef up security, to make it harder for even law-abiding citizens, for basically law-abiding citizens to get a gun permit.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying making places more secure.
Period.
And putting more armed security in places that there needs to be. That's all I'm saying.
They're
going to be criminals who are going to do stuff. But at least you were saying, look, if you're going to come in...
And stop calling them criminals, because these people weren't criminals until they committed these acts.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about. He's a criminal when he decides to come into a place armed to the teeth to kill people. That's what I'm saying. We can jump back and forth on the meaning of it. I'm saying when there are these people who are about to commit these murders... If you know that you walk into a movie theater, I have to go through this entrance, and I know that there's a guard right there.
Okay, but you know what? This is my thing. It's not that easy to do.
And people are protected at that point.
Your theory is flawed, and let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
Your theory is flawed because now these places are the point of reference because it happened there. Well, forget it. I'll walk into Safeway now and just kill up everybody.
And then
I'll walk
Safeway
into
will have
a
to
hospital
be changed.
And sure. kill up everybody. And then I'll walk into a church and kill up everybody.
Okay.
So you really can't. It's about well, wait. Let's look at what this is about.
Columbine had armed guards there. That. But what happened? They were under orders not to engage anybody until the police came. And what happened after that? They changed the whole apparatus okay. after that.
And then somebody is smart enough to figure out the next steps to get past.
Well, I mean,
past.
But then they are...
Because this is about... This
they
is,
have, there's barriers.
This is about masses. This is about sure. where there are masses of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about just targeting, you know, like if we... Taliban or something. It's about killing people of a certain ethnic background or who've been against. It's not like that. It's just these are random. We don't know where it will happen.
Right. I agree.
So I don't know. I don't want to talk about it no more.
Well, I would say this too. You know, okay. One thing I've, I'm not going to say where I work. People already know, but where I work, there's a lot of military people that work there. A lot of like ex-Marines. One guy's like special forces, and there's a lot of military people there, which is kind of interesting to me. And after talking with a lot of them, armed, you know, I would dare say may have it on them, right? And I just like, man, but these are solid dudes. Like, they know how to use weapons. They've been trained in this, right? Military people have been trained to use weapons. They know how to use it. Police have been trained. So one part of me does feel safe when those guys are around because I know they're not going to let no stuff pop off.
Okay.
I see there. Sometimes you will see, you know, I believe in Washington State, you can openly carry your permit.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can see somebody who's in a grocery store could literally just have a sidearm, very visible, and it's totally legal.
I don't know about all that.
Well, it is actually. If you have an open carry license, you can do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a law enforcement to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It may make you feel uncomfortable, but I think that's people being uncomfortable with guns, just because they're. And this may sound wrong, acting of ignorance. Because you don't know. Your thought is to think that all guns are bad. Guns are not going to jump out and just start shooting. It's the person that has to do it. It's just like anything else. Not everybody is, as you said, a criminal. So why can't
I didn't say everybody
well,
was
no,
a criminal.
You said that.
That's
I'm
not what I
I'm
said.
Sorry. You're making it sound like I was saying that everybody was criminal.
No, I was just saying that, you know, the definition of a criminal is someone who's been charged and...
Sure.
Who's been found guilty of a crime.
Okay.
Those people who we were referring to had not committed crimes. Those were just regular
well,
citizens.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure. So I'm just saying that regular people can carry weapons. There's not that shouldn't be a problem personally. I think there's probably a lot of people who do have weapons that we don't know got them on their person, but and nothing happens. But if you knew that they had them on you, you'd probably start freaking out. Why? Because, again, I think most people are unfamiliar with guns and just have this presence to think that they're bad and will act start acting funny.
No, I think that theory is flawed as well.
Okay, I'm a,
and
I'm
the
a
reason
flawed
I said,
theory guy.
If, the reason I say that is I'm not afraid of the gun. I'm afraid and unaware of what is the intention of the person
sure.
carrying the firearm.
So that would be to say, and I don't have one, but if I had a gun, mm-hmm. would you be scared if I had one and I had it on me?
If we got into a heated argument, yes.
Because you think that I'm capable of shooting you with that? Why would you? I don't understand.
In the
I'm
heat of passion?
That crazy?
No, I'm just saying in the heat of passion where people, the football player, everybody was surprised.
See, now listen, I said me. You
yes,
know me.
Yes.
That's why I'm
yes.
asking you. So you think that if I was in a heat of passion?
I will say this. If we were in a heated argument, I would not want you to have a firearm within reach.
That's sad.
I know it
we'll
is.
We'll leave that question. We'll,
okay, let's go to the next subject. Shit.
Oh, Jesus. Why, Jesus, help us.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Let's keep it moving. All right, so...
Let's talk about gold on my neck and gold on my back.
Trinidad James. And let me be clear, I'm not mad at Trinidad James.
You were. Percent. You were mad.
No, I said I give him props for his accomplishments.
You give him props for his accomplishments.
Anybody who knows what this is, go look up Trinidad Jones.
Some James.
James, excuse me, because that's the boxer. Trinidad Jones. James.
It doesn't matter, James.
His song
Leroy.
Is called All Gold Everything. He's got a couple of songs out there, actually. But I think recently he just signed a deal with Def Jam for like $2 million. And I was listening to an interview he had with... The Breakfast Club, I think 106 out of New York. And he mentioned that he's only been rapping for like 10 months. You know, this is something relatively new to him.
Okay, so let's give some background, because I hope that our listening audience are intelligent people who don't necessarily know this type of music. Mm-hmm. So Trinidad James is a young black male from...
He's out of Atlanta.
He's out of Atlanta. It's has a criminal background. Has done some time in jail. That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll put it out there.
Well, whatever. It's common anyways. And when he got
always
out...
Always quick to defame my brother, but go ahead.
Whatever. Okay, Cat Williams. So when he got out, he had friends who were making music, and he kind of started getting into the rap game, and he started looking up beats online and rapping over them, and ended up having a hit called Gold All Over My...
I think it's Gold Everything.
Oh, Gold Everything. Okay. And
he's also had G-Warp Nigga.
So
anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he became really popular, YouTube famous, and got the attention of some record companies, and it looks like Def Jam offered him a record deal, and there were other record deals on the table as well. But our issue is, and the challenge that we've been discussing is, this is jigaboo boom coon music at its best, and what place does it really serve in our communities? You know, but I like that Michael gave him props, that this brother took a product, took an opportunity, ran with it, created his own video, created his own buzz, and within 10 months offered a $2 million record deal. That says something about his business savvy. But what is the price that we pay our community when music like this is being produced and you know, given to the masses? So what are some of his lyrics?
Oh, man. One that's really deep is nigga, 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 nigga.
Oh, that's the chorus. And, nigga, 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 nigga.
You know, it's just gold bitch, all nigga, my this.
Gold
the thing
all
is,
my
the
beat.
Lyrics are so simple. I don't even call
them lyrics.
They're
so ignorant. They're not simple. They're ignorant.
Or simple. There's no sort of, like, wittiness to it or cleverness. I don't even hear the rhyme of the lyrics, right? It's just, to me, it's just foolishness spit over beats.
It's foolishness spit over beats. Absolutely.
And visually, his appearance.
Oh, God.
Is this so far over the top?
The teeth, the pit bull puppies.
When you look at it, you
would
think that it was a spoof.
Grown-ass men in
spoof.
Grocery buggies running, right. Rolling down the street. And
it looks like a spoof. But it's not. That's the problem I have with it.
It could be a brand. It could just be a marketing.
And it probably is. But the thing is, he's serious. Like, it's not like he's making fun. It doesn't seem like he's making fun of himself. He's totally serious. It's not a spoof of something. Like, if I would have saw this 20 years ago.
Wait. Okay, we did see it 20 years. We did see this 20 years ago. It was called Flavor Flav. And Flavor Flav comes from an affluent background where his mother, very intelligent. He played, you know, classical piano, very... you know, intelligent person.
But Flavor Flav was he was a juxtaposed to Chuck D. I mean, it was done like this is the clown to the, you know what I mean? So what he's doing, it wasn't just that you're supposed to just take him totally serious and he's the face of Public Enemy.
Right.
He's there to kind of be the jokester of it. This is not that, this isn't done that way. This is the face. This is totally serious. You were supposed to accept this. And it's, and he's saying all the ridiculousness. Like, it's not, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. To me, visually, when you look at it.
Yeah. The visual. You're right. I just don't know. And I mean, he's not the only one.
No.
You know.
But I just don't. To me, again, I'm not knocking him. And we were talking about this offline. It's the culture. It is the industry who would quickly celebrate and champion this guy to give him a platform so fast.
It is not only the industry. The industry is just a business. It's a business that's out to make money. And if they see there's a market for it and there's a clientele that's going to support this, then they put money behind it. So then do we look at the consumer or do we look at the big business that's putting this out?
It depends on what it is. If there's a huge audience for Klan rap and Sony or Def Jam to say, hey, it's a business for us, let's put it out. Would you have a problem with that?
Of course I would have a problem with it.
Well, I mean, again,
it,
so
but,
why would, but then okay, what then church?
What's the solution to this problem?
Well, the solution to this problem is that black people, since we're the butt of the joke, should be able to say, you know what? This is not acceptable.
Exactly.
We're not going to fall for this. So we don't want you to put this out. And as a matter of fact, we're just not going to buy nothing you do until you take it off. That's what most other cultures do.
Right.
And that's why they don't have these sort of.
So then it's left up to us. The power is right in our hands to make a difference. But you know what? We don't want to make a difference because we're bobbing our heads. We know all the lyrics to this bullshit. And it's part of our culture now, and we celebrate it. Let's just be honest. We celebrate it.
Very true. Well, you told us a great story. You were working with some young women.
Yeah.
And say that.
So we were talking about just, because I was telling Michael, he was like, he could, through our conversation, he could tell I was familiar with a lot of this music. And he was like, yo, T, why do you know
She started twerking, ladies and gentlemen.
I did not start. I don't even know what twerking is, but if I did, y'all be in trouble. Anyways. I work with a young college group of black women, and our mission is, you know, our motto is make me into we, you are black, you are beautiful, you are all about business. And we decided to do, we have an annual sleepover, and in our sleepover, we decided we wanted to do a cipher. And I told them, you know, they were like, what's a cipher? And I was like, just, we are going to bond through just putting music out there, rhythm, good energy, and whatever you feel is what you put into the circle of the sisterhood. And a lot of the stuff that the young women were saying was like, twerk, 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 faded, drank, bitch, what? And I was like, what wow. the hell? And they were really quoting actual lyrics that I wasn't familiar with. And I was like, yo, I need to brush up on this Mill Meeks and Big Sean and Maybach music, because
Maybach music.
My girls out, you know, it's in their psyche. Like, even in a cipher where we're supposed to be talking about,
it's like when you put some thought to say something.
Yeah.
So this is the problem, right? When they're thinking, when they're just in their subconscious, so when they're in their conscious mind to just think of something clever to say, they're going right to the lowest.
That's the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah.
That's sad.
It's sad, but it's real. And we're doing it without even thinking of the consequences or that there's anything wrong with it.
The fact that, and now these are college age.
Yeah, these are women. College young women. So
the one problem I have is the women, that the girls that are younger than them,
mm-hmm.
that know what twerking is. Not only do they know what it is, they practice on how to do it better. Which you see these videos on YouTube all the time or different places online. And it's like, when did it become like little girls?
Little girls. I'm talking about 5, 6.
Rite of passage is that you have to know how to move your ass up and down. Like that is a trip, man. Like that's something for the older. If a college girl is okay, that could be a part of, but that's really strip culture. Intense strip culture, how to do certain moves. Like, that is now the norm. Like, you have to know how to do that. Like, that's just a trip to me, man. Like, that shows you how much this seeps into our brain, and we accept it to the point where now it's like, you don't know how to twerk? Like, you look like the dummy, right?
Right, right. You're the outcast.
That's crazy. I mean, on the most obnoxious, ignorant man of me, I'm like, yeah. But you know, the reality as a father and as a man, that's not acceptable. Like,
so, okay, well, you know what? We spend a lot of time about problems and less on solutions. Okay. So, what's the solution to?
What do you think the solution is? You're a woman. What do you think the solution? You're a black woman. You are under, 2012 was the year, sad to say, ratchet. And a lot of that ratchet was focused on black women.
On women.
So what do you think?
Women of color specifically. You know, we're so deep into it. I'll say we can start with conversations. I think that we should start with conversations about how this makes us look, how it makes us feel, why do we embrace it, and why, out of all other cultures, is this something we accept? How did we get to this point? Mm-hmm. I think we start with the conversation. Very open, honest conversation.
Why do you think you got to this point? Like, why is that a part of our culture right now?
You you know, we could really get deep with this and say once we were taken from Africa through the Middle Passage, that's when the degrading and the dysfunctional families began. I mean, you could be in the fields and a black woman could be raped and people watch and had to accept it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been going on for so long. You know, you were just talking about, especially we were talking about in the rap culture, you know, you even said in some of your experiences in the rap culture, unfortunately, you know, of instances where women were, you know,
trains being ran.
Right, yeah, trains being ran.
All kind of nonsense.
And we were talking about how is that acceptable for anyone in that environment, that moment, to see that to be something that's okay. But I think, honestly, we've been doing it for so long, whether it was the white man or whether it was the black man, that is just ingrained. Hmm. And I think we need to start talking about that. Like, you know, is it okay?
Right.
For us to turn a blind eye.
So when you were with the girls you were working with, did you say anything to, like, after that was Cypher was over, like, whoa, what are you guys talking about? Why are you guys talking about that?
You know what? Honestly, we made jokes about it. Okay. It was not a serious moment. It was like, yo, I can't believe y'all were talking about twerking and bitch this and that. And okay. You know, and even someone was like, said it two or three times. Why don't we have a twerk contest? Can we have a twerk contest? And I'm like, really?
Wow.
Really?
Just think about that. These are college educated women.
Yeah.
Talking about doing a twerk contest.
Yeah.
So.
And wanted to videotape it.
Ah,
so,
wow.
You know.
So if they're saying that, what are the ones that don't have the opportunity to get the experiences that they're doing? What are they doing?
Right.
Right.
And I think, you know, maybe not in that environment where it's a bonding moment, a sleepover.
And you're there.
I'm
as
their advisor.
Their advisor. You yeah. are the older, you're the person who is coming in and supposed to, like, I'm not saying you're not, I'm just saying respectfully, they weren't even supposed to be saying that around you. Like, right. It would seem like it was like, well,
you
this
know,
is Toya here.
And that's the fine line. It's because this sleepover is their bonding experience. Mm. I try not to make them feel uncomfortable because I want them to talk about what they see to be their culture, their issues. And if I put a cap on that, then I'll never know.
Right.
If I put restrictions, then I'll never know.
But even like, again, I was talking about that Meek Mill and his song Amen, and I was saying there's a certain sort of common sense respect that we used to have or in us that, yeah, we'd talk. Trust me, when I was young, we had our stuff. Trust me, we was doing, but I didn't do it in front of certain people. You know, like, there's a place for that, and it almost seems as if that sort of respect or it's not even there anymore. It's just like, well, well.
It's a fine line, like. We want to be our children and the young people we inspire. We want to be their friends. And I have a big issue with that. You know, even classes that I teach in the public schools or in charter schools, they ask me, is it okay if they call you by your first name? And I say, absolutely not. Right. Well, we have a culture here where the kids are on first name basis, so they feel comfortable. Well, they're going to have to feel comfortable with Ms. Taylor. I even had a supervisor at a after school or a after school program say, so do you want him to call you Professor Taylor as a joke? And I said, no, I just want him to call me Miss Taylor. Wow. But you know, it's to that point where we want to be their friends. We want them to feel independent and have a voice. And
I think it's gotten too much.
We start to blur the lines.
Yeah, it's been blurred too much.
Then you're mad when they curse you out.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that was unheard of. But now that's the common thing. There's many videos you'll see kids fighting grown-ass parents in school situations and stuff. I was like, wow, like, that's crazy.
So back to the young women in the college, what I take away from that is now I can, in our formal settings, say this is a meeting we should have about how we portray ourselves, how we view the music of popular culture, and how that affects our psyche.
Yeah. And if you, and I would just say, if they need any help, like a twerk captain, holla at it, Nick.
Word faded.
Wow.
Drink.
All right. Let's get away from all that stuff. Okay. It's a real heavy conversation. We're at the end of 2012 already.
We are. It went by so fast.
It did. So this past year, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I know I've seen a lot of movies. I know you've seen a lot of movies this year. I don't think we've seen any movies together this year. You know what I'm saying?
Not this year. I don't think so.
What's some of your favorite movies this past year? I can go first.
You go first because I got to think about it.
All right. So, man, my number one movie this year, this is very easy for me, was The Avengers. This is a movie at the theaters. I think I saw four or five times at the theater, which is
very
rare.
You saw four or five times?
Yes. I love that movie. I took my kids maybe two. I thought that movie was just fun.
It was fun.
It was exciting. It was everything I wanted in a movie. It reminded me of when I was little, wanted to see Star Wars. Just a good sort of social family sort of movie to go see. Mm-hmm. The second.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll go tat for tat. So I would say
tit for tat.
Did I say tat for tat? Rat a tat tat. I would say End of Watch.
Okay.
That I told you to go see about the police officers on the beat.
I saw it.
In California. Oh, you did see it?
Actually, I saw it before you, but go ahead.
Oh. I thought that movie was great. I thought it was very realistic. Took you through some ups and downs, had its comical moments, dealt with family, and it showed police officers in a very, they're real people. Real people with families and who go through things. Excellent movie.
All right. And I would say my number two movie that I saw this year was Cloud Atlas. That movie was dope. I actually saw it twice in the theaters.
That was my second one as well.
Yeah.
And who was in that movie?
Oh, Halle Berry. Halle Berry. Tom Hanks. I can't think of the other guy's name. He got caught with the... I always remember he's the guy who got caught with the prostitute back in the day.
Oh, God.
Hugo Weaving is in it.
This is what I will say about that movie. I have a newfound respect for Tom Hanks and his acting abilities. Not that I never understood he was an amazing, phenomenal actor anyway, but to play those various roles, I mean, and do an outstanding job of it. It's a great movie. It's a great storyline. Well, several storylines.
Yeah.
The visuals, aesthetically pleasing, worth seeing, man.
It's a movie that you are not going to see very often. Like, you know, like you said, multiple storylines.
There was a lot of controversy against around that movie.
Characters playing different nationalities and sexes. It's out. It's very ambitious. Directed by the Wachowski brothers, you know, famous for The Matrix. One of the greatest movies to me of this year. Period.
Did you hear about the controversies though?
I've heard a couple. There was one about some of the Asian actors. Asian community felt like they were yellow facing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what? In the context of the story and what was going on, I don't think that was the case at all. I think the point
you
of
don't,
the movie...
You don't, because you're not Asian.
Well, no, I think the point of the movie is to have the same character play multiple characters. So, of course, he's got to play an Asian person or whatever.
Right.
There's an Asian person playing a Mexican. I don't know if they were complaining about that. So, I mean, again, it's just... And most of those people who were complaining, I don't even think they actually really saw the movie. Because I don't think the movie was being racist, personally. That's right. Me.
Okay, so what's your number three?
Well, number three, see, I'm kind of scrolling through your movies. There's so much that I saw, I totally have forgotten. Number three, there was a movie I saw real early this year. It was called The Divided, I believe.
Is that a scary movie?
It is an apocalypse sort of movie.
The
premise is the nuclear bombs are getting ready to drop. And I think it takes place in New York. And everybody rushes. Well, not everybody. But these people are rushing to this apartment building. And they go and get into the basement of it. And they slam the door. Boom. Nuclear holocaust happens. Picks up like what happens after that. So you have these group of like 7 or 10 people locked in this basement of an apartment building. What happens when you are enclosed in that sort of situation? That was one of the most brutal movies I've seen in a minute. It's sort of a low budget movie, but there are very recognizable actors in this movie. Some people will hate the movie because it is so brutal and hard.
I need to see it. Can I get it on Redbox now?
It should be on Redbox and Netflix. It went straight to video, I want to say. But, whoa, it's rough. It's rough. Yeah.
Any black movies that came out 2013 that were worth talking about?
Well, I will say I'm actually in the midst of watching
Django.
Well, we haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
Red Hook Summer, Spike Lee's new movie. It's on Netflix. I just started watching it last night. I haven't finished it. I will say this off the bat. The acting in that movie is sort of horrible.
No,
but
I ain't going to watch it then.
The premise of it is something I personally am really into. And it's about this kid goes to Brooklyn and stays with his grandfather. And his grandfather is a Christian minister, pastor. And it's about the church. And it's about being in church and hey, Jesus, you know, there's a lot of preaching and it's like this whole, do you follow that sort of stuff? What was interesting about this movie is that it supposedly is connected to Do the Right Thing. And how is it connect? Mookie is in this movie.
Oh, hell. And he just needed an excuse to put himself in a movie.
And I'm sad to say that you're probably right about that. Because he just kind of walks by. He still works at Sal's.
Oh, God.
And he's obviously very
old. So, wait, why are we talking about this again? It was one of your top movies.
Well, I'm saying a black movie of 2012.
I didn't say black. I said
you did say black.
I said that you appreciate it.
Well, I said, I'm just saying it was, Spike Lee's movies are big movies. I'm just saying.
No, they're not.
Well, I'm a Spike Lee fan. So I'm in the midst of watching. I haven't finished it, so I can't really say.
All right. We didn't spend way too much time.
So I don't know. What's your other movie?
What other movies were out? I can't remember what I saw.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I can't. I'm trying to think of a documentary that I saw that was good.
I don't think I've seen any documentaries this year. There was a number of movies that came out this year, though. There's Life of Pi recently.
Sucked. I saw the Bob Marley documentary.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It's worth seeing. I'm a Bob Marley fan, man.
Okay.
He is.
Hunger Games is another big movie.
It was
really
okay.
Like it.
Yeah, it was
really
all right.
Care for it. The Dark Knight, which I didn't care for it as much as I wanted to.
I don't even really remember.
The Batman with the, bang.
It wasn't all that. Yeah, I can't even remember.
You know what was a good movie? Battleship.
I did see Battleship. It wasn't one of the best movies of 2013.
Well, it was not
though.
The best, but it was surprisingly way better than I thought it was going to be.
I agree. And Rihanna didn't do a bad job.
No, she was fine. I had no problem.
She was fine.
She's all right, man. Lastly, I will throw one more in there. I really can't remember a lot of them. I know I've seen some good stuff that...
It was all subpar, dude. It was all okay.
I'm forgetting this. A lot of the good stuff I saw was not the theaters, and I just can't remember. I've seen so many. But the other one I can remember is I liked
Planet of the Apes wasn't bad.
Is that this year?
I don't know.
That was a good movie. I don't know if it was this year. Chronicle.
What's that about?
That was the one. Yeah, Chronicle. That was the teen sort of superhero movie. It took place in Seattle. There's a black guy, two white guys.
I saw that. It was different.
I like that movie.
It was okay. You have weird taste in
exciting.
Movies.
I have the great taste in
you
movies.
Have weird taste.
Lastly, the other big black sort of movie. Now this is what
big black
was. Red Tails. I mean, when it came out, it was a very
scale
big deal.
Scale 1 to 5,
it
was a 3.
It was whack. It was white.
It was
movie.
Okay. It was all right.
But it was a very big hubbub about it when it
we
came out.
We didn't say what were the big movies of 2013. We said the ones that, what were your top three? You're getting all off track, dude.
Excuse me. Sorry. Wait.
Go back. What do you call that movie? Lorax? Was that what it's called? The cartoon?
The kids movie? I've never saw that. Go ahead.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Lorax.
Yeah. That was cute.
Okay.
Enough.
All right, there you go. I'm going to get into a deeper movie, end of the year blowout and geeked out.
Django.
Yeah, and we'll see if that's any good.
Yeah, we're going to see that on Christmas Eve if you want to come. Isn't
tomorrow.
It on Christmas Eve?
And then tomorrow, right?
Yeah, let's coordinate that.
Yeah,
coordinate.
Let's do that. I do want to see. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not really ready for Christmas, as you can see.
You know what? I don't even want to get into it, man. But it's just... seeing all the people in the malls and people just spending money they don't have. And I just really feel like people forget the true meaning of the holidays, being thankful and making it through the year and, you know, the birth of Christ. And
well, yeah, it's so far removed from that.
I just, it's kind of sickening, even though I did buy me a bunch of clothes. Anyways.
Would you buy for other people?
I raised money. Oh, I want to say thank you.
What I.
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I had one wish for my birthday, which is around Christmas, December 18th. And I started a campaign called The Best Birthday Wish Ever, where I just wanted to raise $1,218 for We App. And my friends, family, and people who support my organization raised over $1,600.
Nice. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you for your past contributions and just always supporting what we're doing in We App. It lets me know that people give and people care. And there are people who want to make sure that our children have opportunities and will invest in them. So that was something I got from other people that reminded me that the season is about giving to others.
Okay. And actually, I think I saw you had some pictures on your Facebook. You went to church or something, or you somewhere where you were volunteering or something recently?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, we're going to talk about this real quick. So my mother's church, First AME Church in Seattle, does a toy clothing holiday drive to get toys and clothes for the homeless. And they were short this year. They were short toys and clothes. Okay. However, same day, right down the street, Mount Zion, same time, did their annual clothing and toy drive. Were able to get money from over $10,000 from Walmart. They had all these clothes. They did food. They served over 2,000 families. And then the radio, black local radio station, did their toy drive the same day, the same time. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, I don't see why they're not doing it together.
All right. Okay.
You know, we're serving the same populations. Mm-hmm. It's for the same cause. Why can't we all just get together to make this happen? I mean, they're like,
that's an age old question for black people. Unity.
Yeah, we're more, it seems to me, we're more concerned about our egos and saying, we did this and we served, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just do it together?
Very true.
The names don't matter. Wow. So I was a little upset about that, dude. Because here's one church that's struggling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another one. And maybe the solution is the church that was struggling, the stuff that they did raise, just go give it to the other church. Go
might
participate.
Be. Might be, yeah.
So, yeah, we did that, and it was fun. Some beautiful children came out. You should have seen the smiles on their faces. Kids got bicycles and, you know, baby dolls, and they served food. It's always a very heartfelt moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up. And so as we come to a close here on this podcast, I believe, and as we come into a close of this year, what, we'll both do this, okay. And I don't, see me, I don't like waiting until the end of the year to do it. But what 2013, we're going to say, where are we going forward with that? And I say for myself, as this is a part of the 30 Days of Podcasting Initiative, my whole thing is to make life-changing habits for myself. And so this is one of them, to fully be engaged in something, to give it a date, follow through, and do it. I started it not ready. But I don't want to give myself excuses. So I am just going to do it and fake it till I make it and get to the end and then go set another goal and do that. And my whole thing is to start things now, not waiting for other things. Just do it now and you'll figure it out as you do it. So that's my whole sort of apparatus going forward. How about yourself?
Definitely on the same page with you. You know, with We App, I felt like I started and I was jogging. Now it's time to run, man. It's time to sprint. It's time to go full speed. I learned a lot of lessons from the beginning stages of We App. Now I know. Now it's to execute and just do an exceptional job at something that has a very strong foundation to it already. And then for myself personally, I want to do some more traveling, man. I want to do some international traveling. Brazil is on my radar. I would love to do Spain. I need to make at least those two places, or at least two international trips happen.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
That's good. All right. I think we are done here. It's Podcast Juice Day 4.
Do it, Michael. Do it.
We're doing it.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Toya, thank you for, you know, continuing to support what we're doing here and being
Absolutely.
Part of this. So I want to say this on the air. Going for every Sunday, we are recording this show, right?
All right.
So we make a pact to do that. We're going to stick with it.
Absolutely. So no phone calls from you, Michael. Talking about we ain't gonna do it today.
Oh man, if I'm like,
on Sunday.
I was sick, man. I was so out.
Yeah, Michael was sick, you guys, I'm gonna say, all jokes aside, I'm happy that you're feeling better, man, because you had me worried.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, that means a lot. I don't normally get sick, and I was at the doctor like 3 times in a week. That was just
it's
crazy. But that's why I'm like going crazy now, because I am better. It feels good to feel good. Like
that. Yeah, I'm happy they got medicine for the clap, and that, you know, everything is okay with you. And now you know.
Wow.
Now you know.
She is joking. Please. No. All right.
I don't even know what the clap is. What's the clap?
I don't either. I don't want to
clap your hands now, people.
People even get that anymore? I don't
know. I don't think
that's
so.
Real old. You dating yourself?
Whatever.
All right. So yeah, there you go. Podcast Juice.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy
man.
New Year.
Happy Feliz Navidad, Kwanzaa. All the week.
Monica.
About time to do it again. Sunshine today. I better make plans. 'Cause it rained yesterday. But that was okay. Can't complain. I love it either way. Live every day like it's my last. I refuse to be stuck in the past. People act like machines, 'cause they're scared to live the dreams. Know what I mean? I just enjoy and celebrate. Enjoy the love we make. Enjoy, appreciate. Enjoy. Just keep on doing it till my heart's content. And enjoy when someone smiles. Enjoy. So just enjoy the simple things. Enjoy the day life brings. Enjoy the song of sings. Enjoy. Just keep on doing it till your heart's content. And enjoy the gift of life. Enjoy. Paradise, do it now, never too late to try. Lose your inhibition, let your inspiration set you free. And just enjoy and celebrate. Enjoy the love we make. Enjoy, appreciate. Enjoy, just keep on doing.
just the background. Yeah. That feels good. Take it up.
Enjoy.